Then he cried just south of Nashville, and he turned that car around. He said,
"This is where you get off, boy, 'cause I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank." He said,
"Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday. 251-343-0106. Time pending. I will try to get some of your texts before the conclusion of today's show. Joining us now, as promised, our 11 o'clock guest, or 11:30 guest, I should say, former State Senator Rusty Glover on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be on the program, Jeff.
Hey, thank you for coming on. I always thank you for doing so. So, give us a quick update. How you been? What you been up to since, you ran for auditor, but things have kind of settled down for you, I assume, a little bit.
Oh yes, I've been nonstop steady with my a job. It's an underage under arrest program where we go to schools across the state, middle school, high school, and encourage the kids to stay away from alcohol, marijuana, vaping, and we went to 158 schools last year, and this summer I've gone to 102 recruiting schools to our program. It's a little 45-minute program with the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers and the Aaliyah, whether it be an SBI agent or a state trooper, and it's a very effective program, and so it keeps me busy traveling. I was in Montgomery day four yesterday, and those schools in Elmore and Montgomery County, and just staying busy.
Well, that's good to hear. So I assume you keep it up with what's going on still. I know you listen to this program, so
sure.
you maybe see it through not quite an accurate lens, but as accurate as I can make it. I want to get your thoughts on this, though, Alabama Republican Party politics. The way that it seems like the direction of the state party is now trying to be a little more aggressive against the Alabama Education Association, and like. You know, you especially, but I'm old enough to remember when Paul Hubbert was a bad word in Republican Party circles, and AEA was a very taboo thing, and they've softened their image some since all that over the years. But I guess there was and you're well familiar with this newsletter. They did a victory lap coming out of this last session, and here we are, Republican Party striking back. What do you make of this trend?
Well, I never received money from AEA, but you know, it's not a new thing that they give to Republican candidates. I remember when I was first elected, they gave quite a bit to Republicans. In fact, I would say with assurance that it was a higher percentage in that year to Republicans than what they did this past year as far as money going to Republican candidates. And so they've been doing this for quite a while. But, you know, the idea of banning the money from Republicans, you know, it's always been frowned upon. They've passed resolutions asking them not to, which has been very ineffective. But if they were to ban the money from candidates, I kind of see where it would be an advantage for AEA. And I know that's a very odd angle to look at it, but think about this. Let's say you're a House member getting $10,000 a year from the AEA each quadrennium, or a senator getting $10,000 to maybe $30,000 or $40,000 a year. If they're not obligated, and they're obligated because they're expected by the legislators to give them that money, if they're not giving that money to the legislator, they are spending it in other elections, and with the candidate that was getting the $10,000, they know that if they don't vote right, there's a good chance that AEA will find them an opponent and will spend that money against them 4 years from now. So that's what they have on them. And I think that they feel that they'll be far more effective them spending the $10,000 in a campaign, and doesn't even have to have their name on it, of course, than the candidate having it in their campaign account. And because the AEA has this, and I know it was mentioned, I think maybe Paul DeMarco may have mentioned a couple days ago about the AEA Journal. That's the newspaper that goes out to all their members. And we're not just talking about just teachers. We're talking about it's cafeteria workers, maintenance people, custodians, bus drivers, teachers, administrators, retired teachers who were very active in voting. They're all getting this newspaper, and it's very slanted. I was kicked hard by it many occasions, and they use that as a weapon, and it's a very effective weapon. But not just that, it's their emails, their mail outs, texts, phone calls. They can really get folks motivated to go out and vote, and with a 15 to 25%, sometimes even less than 15% turnout in Republican primaries, that's a good portion of the voters that they have locked in. And the people who aren't affiliated with AEA in any way, they're not receiving any of these things. They don't know that the person that's one of the people in the race is getting all this attention and help from AEA. So I think this, I feel like that the banning the money from the candidates might not be as effective as people think. It may not produce results that people are expecting. I think they'll be just as potent as they were before. But you know, it is a statement, and I think that they will go forward with it in the next couple of years before you know the chance for legislators to receive money from them.
Yeah, I think that's where the party is. I mean, and this is, you know, something to discuss and think about. Like, does this put Republicans in a disadvantage? And as a legislator, come on, and, you know, she was like, look, I had a competitive primary. I didn't take money from the AEA, but there's some of us that were in had a Libertarian candidate or whatever on the ballot. We needed that money. So it would seem to me that if the party chose to go in this direction, they need to make sure they're finding a way to fill in those voids, I suppose.
Yeah, well, and the president, John Wall, he mentioned that the state party would step in where the AEA money was. But the problem with that is most of the help is needed in a primary. And as he mentioned, and it is very true, the state party is not going to get involved in a primary supplying money to someone in a primary. That money is going to be strategically spent and used by, say, AEA in a Republican primary on behalf of a candidate, and the person who may be favored by the 400 and some members of the state Republican Party, their most favored candidate won't be receiving any money in the primary. And they say that we'll take care of it in the general election, but it's over in the general election. It doesn't matter at that particular point.
Well, and so, you know, like all this is baked in and whatever, but does this, maybe this is the goal, maybe this is one of the benefits here. Does it sort of soften the AEA, you think, and maybe make them think twice about going so hard in the paint against school choice or any kind of Common Core restrictions or but grocery tax mitigation, anything like that? Because they really, really did the victory lap right after signing Dye.
They sure did. And going, you know, mentioned Common Core. I mean, when I had that bill a couple of years, it wasn't AEA that was battling me on that. Of course, they were not for my bill, but most of my headaches came from several different other big mule groups around the state. But now, you know, he did mention that they would go year by year, or maybe quadrennium by quadrennium, as far as banning money for legislators, in hope that the AEA would turn more conservative. I was in Wetumpka, and it's outside of a Jack's restaurant, sitting there listening to that, and I'm thinking, on what issues would they be turning conservative? AEA is not going to be turning conservative on those major issues. That's not going to happen. And I was like, my mouth just dropped. Like, what? They're not going to, you know, if you're going to do it, it would be a permanent, I would think. I mean, AEA is not going to turn conservative. And, but that's, you know, I couldn't believe it when I heard it, that year by year, you know, if they're going to ban it year by year. But then again, as I said before, you know, I think that, you know, if I had received money from AEA, it would be disingenuous for me to say this, but I think that they would be just as potent as far as their electoral victories, if they didn't give money to the candidates. I think they can spend money on behalf of the candidates in a hugely more strategic manner.
Well, it's like banning Alabama power money or utility money given to the PSC candidates. But we know at the end of the day who's really kind of running the show there and who's leading the charge on what candidates are in those spots. So, I mean, you could do it, but there's like so many workarounds as well.
Yes. And like I said, yeah, I think that's a good point. And like I said, I think it could even be used to an advantage, you know, instead of using that $10,000 to go to that House member's campaign account, it'll go somewhere else in another part of the state to be used in a more contested race in a primary. A lot of these people do not have opponents, and they're still getting the big money from AEA, and it's just sitting there, whereas it could be used in a campaign somewhere else and to be more effectively used for a campaign. And I think I just don't think that it would have the results that folks feel like it would happen.
We're joined by former state senator Rusty Glover here on the program. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, you're looking at the way the governor's handling transportation policy, or maybe she's not handling it personally, but maybe it's being done in her name. What do you make of this I-65 versus West Alabama corridor sort of dispute that's playing out in the media?
Well, I-65, I've sat in I-65 traffic hours and hours and hours. But I'll be honest with you, Jeff, for me to feel like money should be better spent for my discomfort sitting on I-65, where you have my friends, people in our community that are slaughtered on Highway 45 week in and week out. It's like saying that the people of Citronelle and Northwest Mobile County aren't important. Their lives aren't important because we've put no attention. If we go and we put a bond, float a bond or whatever, borrow money to build 43 and it takes 4 or 5 years, that's longer years. And I'm not going to talk about I-65. I'm saying it's going to be longer for 45 to be built. And we're having, I remember when I was in office, every time someone got killed on 45, I was calling either Montgomery or the local regional DOT and say, look, I just calling to remind you somebody else got killed on 45. It needs some attention. And of course, during those years, Highway 98 was a priority, and we worked very, very hard to get that taken care of. But now, for me, I would say Highway 45 is, if I was in office, I wouldn't breathe any kind of support for any of those two projects until 45, the dirt was flying, because that is, to me, that would be a priority. I would say safety is far more important than discomfort of being in a traffic jam.
Well, what was the trick there? Because Representative Stringer and I have this discussion every time he's on about all of this.
Yes.
And getting that. It's not even, ALDOT doesn't even have it on its like top 50 list. It's way, way down the list. And this is, it was once in statute, according to Brett Easterbrook, that this would be four lane to the Mississippi line, and they took it out. But like, how do you overcome this? It just doesn't seem to be the will there, at least from this governor and at least from this transportation director.
Yeah, certainly not from this director, but I'm just hoping maybe when there's a change of office and you have a new director, eventually that's going to happen. Maybe some priority can be put towards it, because it's amazing that so little attention from the state is put on such a dangerous road. I mean, and as I travel, going to all these schools, the public and private schools all over the state promoting our program, I'm driving on all these four-lane roads all over the state. There's no traffic on them. It's kind of like going Highway 45 on the Mississippi side. There's no traffic there, no traffic. But yet, you get to Alabama and you see these four-lane roads, it's the same thing. But yet we have Highway 45, and it's just massive amounts of traffic. Highway 98, for all these years, all the massive traffic, and we were not able to get it taken care of until 20 years ago. It's just amazing how the priorities And I know it's politics. You know, you get a speaker in from the Wiregrass, you're going to have four-lane roads going from the Wiregrass to Montgomery. I mean, that's the way it is. But it's just so little is put in because of, for safety. And people are killed on these roads year in and year out, week in and week out. And just it's just mind-boggling to me how that can happen.
And last question, though, and I'm not an expert in this category, but, like, you look at the states that border Alabama, and you think that they deal with the same similar circumstances with road construction, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, the Florida Panhandle. Alabama just always seems a step behind. It takes longer to build roads here. When you cross that state line, all of a sudden the roads seem to improve. I mean, 45, 84, you go up all those federal highways. They just, it's like the parting of the Red Sea. What is there something to that, that Alabama is just not doing something right?
Well, I remember looking at statistics, you know, statewide difference of, you know, comparing the different states. And I know Alabama was at one time, you know, in recent past, in the middle of the pack, and Mississippi was far down there. And a lot of people don't believe that because they've driven, you know, 45 and it's a nice road until you get to the turnoff that you're going to I-20. It's kind of rough there, but it's pretty smooth. But they built that to get people to the safely down to the casinos. I mean, that's a route 45 to 63 and down to the casinos, and that's why, I'm sure that's why they prioritized that. But you go in other parts of Tennessee, and the roads aren't that great. And unless they've improved in the last 4 or 5 years since I've seen the statistics, we were actually ahead of some of those other states. But it's just some of the decision making on which roads, like I believe it's Highway 411 going from Gadsden to up into Cherokee County. Yeah. They are working on that. They're working on that. But I remember Phil Williams, you're going to be on his program. I remember going and campaigning for him when he was up in a very contested general election back in 2014 and traveling that road. And I thought we only had these kinds of roads. It's horrible. It's horrible. This is dangerous. And they are working on that, but they're not working on ours. And that's really sad.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We got to get out of here, but stay safe out there, especially in your travels. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be with y'all.
Thank you. That was former State Senator Rusty Glover. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And I'll be waiting in Jackson.